the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, these words from the reading. If we have been united with Christ in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Do you ever wonder what life after death will be like? Whenever I hear that question, I immediately assume that the person asking it is wondering about life someday in heaven. Do you ever wonder what life after death will be like? That question, asked in the context of the scripture reading, calls for an entirely different answer. The Apostle Paul here is indeed talking about life after death, but not life someday in heaven, but the life we live because of the death we died in our baptisms. Listen again. Did you not know, Paul asked, that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Life after death? Yes. Now, all that Paul is saying here is his answer to questions he asked just before this text. The questions, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Paul is addressing a problem that we all seem to have. We seem to think that sin comes first, and then God's grace covers those sins. But grace is not God's response to our sinfulness. Rather, our repentance is our response to God's grace. Grace is a part of who God is. By baptism, then, God's grace is at work as Christ's death becomes my death and your death, and in the next moment, his resurrection becomes my resurrection and your resurrection. It's through him that we rise to newness of life. However, as long as I live in a mode of self-preservation, as long as I function primarily out of self-interest, I will not be able to follow Christ, to live the new life, to turn the other cheek, or to give to someone who asks, or love my enemies. As long as my modus operandi is self-interest, I will not lose my life for Christ's sake. That self-interest is what I must die to. But this death is not the end. No, it's the necessary beginning. The biblical description, or the Bible's description, then, of what it takes to be a disciple of Christ paints it as a hard job, a very hard job, beyond hard, in fact, well nigh impossible. When Paul in our text asks us to die with Christ, it's like he's asking us to change spots. But we can't change spots any more than the leopard can. And that's the point that Paul is making in this reading. We can't do anything. Discipleship is not a job. It's a relationship. It's not a task with a series of steps you have to accomplish. Discipleship is a way of life. Only after losing my life will I find it. Only after this death will I be able to be and to do what God has called me to be and to do, and the same goes for you. Only after this death will God be able to fully accomplish his will in and through and for my life. And again, the same goes for you. In Christ Jesus, we are dead to sin. In Christ Jesus, we are alive to God. From Australia comes a story of two brothers caught stealing sheep. A large S-I was, or T was, branded on each of their foreheads, so that everyone would know that they were sheep thieves and they could not be trusted. One brother immediately left town in shame. He couldn't put up with the stares and the isolation caused by his sin. He became a transient, moving from place to place, always trying to hide the scar on his face under the brim of his hat. But everywhere he went, he was greeted with suspicion, which ultimately led to despair and an early death from alcoholism and other kinds of abuse. The other brother realized that he could never run away from his past. So he stayed in his hometown. It wasn't easy at first. He suffered ridicule and the gossip that hung over him like a cloud. But he believed that his crime had been punished and debt paid. So he lived openly. He walked the streets, shopping in the stores, showing actions of care to the needy. And this, over the years, gave him a new identity. One day, a traveler passed through the town and saw this old man walking the sidewalks with the scars looking like an ST on his forehead. When he asked the clerk at the general store what had happened to the man, the clerk thought for a moment, shook his head, and then said, "I'm not exactly sure. I know there's a story behind it." But knowing the man, the clerk then said, "I guess the ST stands for saint." So Paul tells the story of our text. We were once guilty sinners. God took care of the punishment for our sin in Jesus. And from a theological perspective, we died in that transaction. And now we are saints, part of the family of God. We have been made free in Christ's resurrection. But just as freedom has its privileges, it also has its responsibilities. So how now will we live? Yes, how now will we live? If we've been united with Christ in his death, we shall certainly be united with him in his resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.